Morning, welcome to our first service on this beautiful, beautiful last day of May. And I'm excited about this sermon today. It's part one of a two-part series. I was studying in the book of Genesis and Exodus recently, and I saw this series of events that I want to share with you today and next Sunday. How many times do you see something like this when you're reading the Bible? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many times do you see that scattered throughout the scripture? Or maybe it's this one, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was curious, so I did a search, and it comes up 20 to 25 times that they are listed together inside of one verse in the Bible, obviously depending upon some English translations. So it's frequent that you see these names all together, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My point is this, these are foundational main characters of the Old Testament. And they're also linked to the New Testament as well. These three names, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are the genealogical foundation of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. These three names are always at the beginning of the genealogy of Jesus. So let me give you a couple of examples so you'll see where I'm going today. One will be from the Old Testament, and the other one will be from the New Testament. This is when God reveals himself to Moses at the burning bush, some 400 years after Abraham. Do you think people are going to know your name 400 years from now? 400 years after Abraham, Exodus 3, verse 5. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned Moses. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now Jesus, that's the Old Testament. Jesus in the New Testament, he links the three names again to communicate the truth about the resurrection of the dead. So in the Old Testament, he's telling Moses, I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham. But in the New Testament, he's linking these three names to the resurrection into eternal life. Matthew 22, 31. But now, this is Jesus speaking, as to whether there will be a resurrection of the dead. Haven't you ever read about this in the scriptures? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. My point is this. These three are foundational characters in God's story to redeem mankind. These three, here's the main point. These three are the conduit through which the blessing of God will come to earth. The conduit. Each of them has their own story. Each is different and each is unique, even though they are forever tied together, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Each one of them has their individual storyline. So I'd like to spend some time today and next Sunday to focus on Jacob, who, like his grandfather Abraham, had a name, a new name assigned to him when he had his encounter with God. Abraham began with what? What was his name in the beginning? Abram. But God saw fit to change Abram to Abraham. Abram means father, exalted father. So why did he change his name to Abraham? Abraham means father of a multitude or father of many nations. He changed his name because of what he was about to do in him and through him. Isaac, the son of Abraham, he didn't get a name change. He was Isaac and he stayed Isaac. But what about Jacob? Jacob is our main character today and next Sunday. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And the name is still at the center of world news and controversy today. Isn't that interesting? This ancient story where God comes and changes the name of a man, Jacob, from now on you're going to be called Israel. And here we are, what, 4,000 years later, and in the news right now, in the headlines, is Israel. Isn't that curious? You could say that Jacob is still pretty influential today. Jacob's name change came after he was returning, as he was returning to Canaan, which is the promised land, from Padan Aram, where he had married two sisters. That in itself ought to have been a problem. He married two sisters and he fathered 11 sons. Son number 12 would come later after he got back to the promised land. Jacob was on his way home to Canaan. And guess who was approaching him with 400 men? His brother Esau, whom he had deceived and ran away from 20 years ago. The night before Jacob will meet Esau face to face, I can imagine in the story, and I have a vivid imagination, I can imagine when Jacob was about to enter the promised land, knowing he's going to encounter his brother Esau, who he tricked out of the birthright 20 years ago, that Esau's going to try to kill me. It's going to be a battle. The night before Jacob will meet Esau face to face, he has an encounter with God that changed his name. Are you aware of that? He's about to encounter Esau, and he thinks it'll be a blood battle. And God comes that night, and changes his name and the name of a new nation. We refer to him as the 12 tribes of Israel, is revealed. Now, I want you to understand, I picked this scene today because this is a symbolism of Jacob the night before he comes to meet his brother Esau in the promised land. The land he ran away from 20 years ago, fearing his life because he had tricked his brother. Jacob now wrestles, before he wrestles with Esau, he'll wrestle with God. Before he wrestles with Esau, he's going to wrestle with God. Genesis 32, verse 22. Here comes the story. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servants' wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. He's entering the promised land. That's where Esau lives. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came, notice the wording, came and wrestled with Jacob until dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, when the man saw that he would not win this wrestling match with Jacob, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. And then the man said, "Let me go, for dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, here's the key verse today, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men." You have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name, Jacob said. Why do you want to know my name? The man replied. Then, here it comes, he blessed Jacob there. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God, for he said, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was spared. So let's start with the first question everyone asks after reading this mysterious midnight wrestling match. Who was the man who wrestled with Jacob all night? The text says the man, a man. But progressively, if you keep reading, and I just did, progressively reveals more than a man. He has supernatural power. Why? He touched Jacob's hip and dislocated it. It's not kung fu. It's supernatural power. He can just touch. So he's obviously not a man like we know a man. Jacob identifies the struggle as with God. Jacob concludes he has seen God face to face, and yet he survived. Echoing the idea that no one can see the face of God and live, and yet Jacob recognizes he's just wrestled with God and he's still alive. The prophet Hosea gives us a little bit more information about the identity of the man. The prophet Hosea later calls it wrestling with God and an angel. Another description of the mysterious midnight wrestling match. Hosea 12, verse 3, even in the womb, Jacob struggled with his brother. That would be Esau. When he became a man later on, he even fought with God. Yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for a blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face, and God spoke to him. The Lord, God of heaven's armies, the Lord is his name. The prophet Hosea begins by revealing the struggle between Jacob and Esau as they were born, struggling in the womb. Which one will come out first? Do you know what the name Jacob means? It's interesting. Jacob's name means heel grabber or deceiver. Heel grabber. If you know the story, he was born grabbing the heel of his brother Esau. Heel grabber, but even a worse name than heel. How would you like to grow up being called heel grabber? What would be even worse is you grow up and they call you deceiver. That's what Jacob means. Hosea also describes Jacob's fight with God, this midnight wrestling match. And do you know what the name Israel means? That night, Jacob got a new name. He didn't pick it. His mom and dad didn't pick it. God has now assigned a new name to the heel-grabbing deceiver. Israel. What does Israel mean? Strives with God. That's what the word itself means. So I don't think it was without purpose. God gave Jacob a name that says you will strive with God. We've identified the man, whether it is the pre-incarnate Christ. Some people take that position. Who's he wrestling with? Is the pre-incarnate Jesus? I don't know. Or is it an angel who's taken the form of a man? I don't know. But either way, it doesn't matter. It is under the power of God that this wrestling match is taking place. And yes, Jacob wrestled with God. Well, either an emissary of God or God himself in the pre-incarnate Christ. So why are they wrestling? What's happening in the wrestling match that you and I ought to learn today? Jacob is striving with two powers. Please understand this today. Jacob is striving with man, and he's striving with God. He's at war spiritually and physically with both. He's about to, the next day, go and encounter a man that he fears will take his life, his brother Esau. And he is that night before struggling with the God who created the entire story of Jacob and Esau. So let me repeat verse 24 again through 29. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. And when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. And then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel because," why? Why is he getting the name changed? "Because you have fought with God and with men." Notice both. "You have fought with God and men." He's grabbing the heel of Esau. He's fighting with a man even when he's born. He's the heel grabber. "And have won." You've won this wrestling match. Isn't it interesting that there's a man wrestling with God all night long and he won? And the only way that the man got away from Jacob that night is he touched his hip and he wounded him so bad he had to let him go. Verse 29, "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. And then this supernatural being under the power of God blessed Jacob there. This is big. And this is the origin of the name and perhaps the purpose of Israel itself. Have you ever thought about this story? The purpose of Israel itself, a man and a nation. Israel has always wrestled with man and always wrestled with God. Always, since its inception, it's been a wrestling match with people around them and with God himself. It's the origin of the name. And what is it? "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Think about Jacob saying that to God. They're in a wrestling match. Jacob is fearful for his life, what's going to happen tomorrow. And before he ever gets to the struggle with man, he now finds himself in a struggle with God himself. And what's Jacob's response to his situation? "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." That's audacious. I just think that's amazing. Of all the things you could say to God in the moment, you said, "What? I got a hold of you and I'm not letting you go until you bless me." I want you to think about you saying that to God today. I want you to right now think about the fact that we are struggling with people. The whole fact of being a Christian is that we're going a different life, a different direction than the world, and that creates in itself a struggle. And we're struggling with God. We still have the sin nature. We struggle with God. We struggle with man. We struggle with God. And would you, in the midst of our struggle, look at God and say, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm hanging on until you bless me." That's audacious. So what does that look like? What does it look like when you would wrestle with man, wrestle with God, and then say in the middle of the wrestling match, "I'm not going to let you go until you do something for me"? You know what it's called? It's called faith. It's called faith. It's the essence of Christianity itself. What is Jacob's circumstance in this incredible encounter with God? You'll get the end of this story next week. You need to hear these together. So what is Jacob's circumstance in the moment of the wrestling match? You know what's behind Jacob? What's behind him? What's he coming out? He's going back to the promised land. What's behind Jacob is an angry father-in-law who has set up boundaries so that he won't kill Jacob. That'll be next week's topic. What's behind him is a father-in-law that says, "If you cross this line, I'm going to kill you." How'd you like to go home for Thanksgiving in that family? And what's in front of him is an angry twin brother and 400 men that he had cheated out of his birthright 20 years ago. And Jacob's trapped in the middle of the two. And in the middle of all of this war, he's got a hold of God. And he says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. This is my favorite part today. I don't know why it is. The next morning, he's had the wrestling match. The next morning, Jacob, who is now Israel, had a limp. And he had to limp into the presence of his brother. My favorite part is not that he has a limp. My favorite part, that would be kind of cruel. My favorite part is what he was afraid, what he had feared for 20 years. God's going to touch. He's not just going to touch his hip. What Jacob was afraid of for 20 years, God is going to touch supernaturally. Verse 30. Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. The sun was rising as Jacob left Peniel, and he was limping because of the injury of his hip. God had wounded him physically. The blessing of God left Israel with a limp. I want you to think about that. The blessing of God left Israel, that's his name now, with a limp. Striving and wrestling with God and man can leave you with a limp and a name change. Church, listen, this is a spiritual truth. Striving and wrestling with God can leave a man with a limp and a name change. They wrestled all night, and Jacob has a new name and a limp. And here comes Esau. Jacob has a new name, but does Jacob have the blessing that he wrestled for? He has a new name. My name is Israel. But does he get what he asked for in the wrestling match? I will not let you go until you bless me. And then he gets touched in the hip. This is my favorite part. Verse 1, chapter 33. Then Jacob looked up and he saw Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and his two servant wives. He put the servant wives and their children at the front. Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. And then Jacob went on ahead, and as he approached his brother Esau, he bowed to the ground seven times before him. Well, what's the context? What is going on? Jacob is terrified. He's terrified. He's got 400, Esau's got 400 soldiers, 400 men. Jacob's got a big family and a bunch of sheep. Then Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. And they both wept. Now, I'm going to admit to you, when I wrote that, when I typed that sentence out in this message, I wept. I'm struggling with it right now. For 20 years, he had feared meeting his brother because of what happened. And the night before he meets his brother, God blesses him. I don't know what all it means. I just know this, that Jacob is bowing down what seven times he bows to Esau. Don't kill me, 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 don't kill me. And his brother puts his arms around him and kisses him. Esau and his 400 men could have finally gotten even with this deceiving, heel-grabbing Jacob. But he didn't. Why? I want you to think about this. This is real. This is the foundation of Judaism. It's the foundation of Christianity. Do you understand that? This is our foundation. Why? Jacob had the blessing of God on him. It's a big deal. To live under the blessings, a big deal. Do you think it's a coincidence that this scene is the origin of the nation of Israel? What is the first day event of the now nation of Israel, which is the person of Jacob? What's the first day event? I just read it to you. Jacob became Israel, and Jacob's sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Coincidence? No. A nation people, Israel, a nation people that have struggled with God and man from the beginning. That is Israel. That is Israel, the man Jacob, and that is Israel, the nation itself. A nation of people who have struggled with God and with man from the beginning. Let me give you an example. Please listen to the numbers. I know sometimes numbers in sermons are hard, so I'll make it simple. Let's back up to Jacob's grandfather. Jacob's grandfather is Abraham. Abraham has a terrible situation. His wife talks him into having sex with the handmaid, Hagar, and they have a son named Ishmael. Ishmael becomes the father of the Arab people. If you read the Bible, Ishmael fathered 12 sons. They became the 12 princes of the Arab people. If you take today, go look it up, because I did. If you take the Arab people, which still genealogically go all the way back to Ishmael, the son of Abraham, you know how many live on the earth today? 500 million, roughly. 500 million Arabs today on the earth descended from Ishmael. 500 million. Isaac was born not too long after Ishmael. So you would expect, and Isaac had a son named Jacob, and Jacob's got 12 sons. Ishmael's got 12 sons. Jacob's got 12 sons. And they're born in the same generation under Abraham. So you would expect that the Jewish people would have about the same amount of people on the earth today as the Arab people would have on the earth today, right? Genealogically, wouldn't they have about the same number of people? And by the way, during the time in Egypt, they were multiplying so fast that Pharaoh started killing the boys, right? So they're really knowing how to multiply. You know what the population of Jewish people on the earth is today? 16 million. There's 50 million Arabs. What happened? Did you hear me? 16 million Jews on the whole earth, 500 million Arabs. What happened? They're all from the same 12 in the same period. They struggled with man and they struggled with God. They have been at war with man. In fact, much of the war has been with Ishmael's seed. And they've died. 6 million of them died during World War II in the Holocaust. Are you starting to see this? If you go to Psalms chapter 124, verse 1, this is a psalm of David. David writing the psalm, which obviously comes a long time after Jacob. Here's what David says. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Let all Israel repeat. What if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us? They would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger. The waters would have engulfed us. A torrent would have overwhelmed us. Yes, the raging waters of their fury would have overwhelmed our very lives. Praise the Lord, who did not let their teeth tear us apart. We escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help is from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What if he had not saved us? There's 16 million versus 50 million. What if he had not saved us? There'd be zero. There wouldn't be any left. They struggle with man. From its inception, this man, this nation, conceived by God himself, has struggled with man and struggled with God. I want you to think about it. How many times has Israel been almost wiped out? Almost wiped out. Look at, read the Old Testament. Read modern history. Look at the newspaper today. But they're still here. Israel has truly wrestled with man and wrestled with God. Oh, to live under the blessing. I will not let you go until you bless me. Would you be so bold to say that to God today and hold on? And before you answer the question to yourself, I need to give you the rest of it. Would you be so bold to say that to God? I will not let you go until you bless me. But what if the blessing made you an enemy of men? Would you still ask for the blessing? What if the blessing immediately made you the enemy of the people around you? That's Israel. Would you still ask for the blessing? This whole Jacob and Esau story begins with a blessing. Yes, I'm going backwards into the story of Jacob, and I'm doing it on purpose. Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was the deceiving heel grabber. In that culture, the firstborn gets the blessing. In that culture, the firstborn gets the favor of the father. But that's not how this story goes. So let's go backwards. Genesis 27, verse 1. One day, when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, Jacob's twin brother. He called for Esau, his older son. He's the firstborn. My son, yes, father, Esau replied. I am old. I'm an old man now, Isaac said, and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow, Esau, he's a hunter, and a quiver full of arrows, and go out into the open country to hunt for some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. And then I, Isaac, will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, Esau, my firstborn son, before I die. Is it going to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau? This is Isaac's plan. Everybody listen. Isaac's plan is that the genealogy of Israel, the genealogy of Jesus, is going to be Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's what he sees that day. If I stop at verse 4, that's how this thing appears. But something happens that is far above, higher than the heavens at work in this scene. Something that cannot be measured or explained by man. I like to just call it this because I can't think of another way to call it. It's the sovereignty of God. Esau runs out of the room to go hunt game so that he might return and receive the father's blessing. He's excited. In the meantime, Rebekah, who is Isaac's wife, convinces Jacob to dress up like Esau and deceive his father Isaac into giving him the blessing instead. Remember, he wrestles with man and with God. The deceiver, heel-grabbing Jacob, succeeds. Verse 24. So Jacob has gone into the room pretending to be Esau. Isaac is pretty much blind. But are you really my son Esau? He asked. Yes, I am, Jacob replied. And then Isaac said, now, my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you the blessing, my blessing. So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. And then Isaac said to Jacob, please come a little closer and kiss me, my son. So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, ah, The smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord had blessed. And by the way, his mom had helped him put on Esau's clothes, and it's all trickery. It's all deception. But here's the part. Please listen. What's about to come out of Isaac's mouth is not from Isaac. It's supernatural. It's of God. This blessing is not a father being kind to his boy. This blessing is a God sovereignty event. I don't know what they know that, but we can look back and know that. So he's convinced that Jacob is Esau, and here comes the supernatural blessing. Verse 28. I want you to imagine as I read this, this is God speaking supernaturally, not just to a man, Jacob, but to everyone who will follow after this man, Jacob, in the future. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they, the many nations, bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Now, if this is working the way Isaac thinks it's working, Jacob's going to be bowing to Esau. But that's not how the story ends. And all who curse you, please listen. All who curse you, Israel, will be cursed. And all who bless you, Israel, will be blessed. Now, before I go on, I want you to understand that what Isaac just said to Jacob is what God just said generation ago to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. So that started with God to Abraham, and now it's being passed from Isaac to Jacob. So what happens? Esau returns home after the hunt, and he has no idea that it's too late. He has no clue. The supernatural blessing of the father has been lost. This is important. These are not casual words. The supernatural blessing, I just read to you, it's lost. It's too late. It's been given to another. It's been given to Jacob. As soon as Jacob had departed from Isaac's presence with this supernatural blessing, Esau comes in to Isaac. Verse 32. But Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" He's talking to Esau. He's been out hunting, doing what he was supposed to do. "Who are you?" Esau replied. "It's your son, your firstborn son, Esau." Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, "Then who just served me wild game? I have already eaten it, and I blessed him just before you came." And yes, the blessing, that blessing must stand. When Esau heard the father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. "Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too." He begged. Jump down to verse 27. Esau pleaded, "But do you have only one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me too." Then Esau broke down and wept. Now, with all of that story so far up to now, I want you to think about Jacob's name change. You have struggled with man and with God. You have wrestled with man and with God. Now, I'm going to stop in the story for part one. And Jacob's blessing. Part two will be next week, Lord willing. It's called Jacob's Visitation. What happens when Jacob runs for his life, he flees from Esau, and he's going to have a visitation from God. Not the wrestling match. No, this is the ladder that goes up and down to heaven. So let's be honest. This whole Jacob and Esau story is a mystery and a revelation of the sovereignty of God. The truth is this: Jacob, which is Israel, has wrestled with man and God all the way up to today. Now let's come up to modern times. Modern times, 1948. There are people in the room right now. You were alive in 1948. I was not. But some of you were. In 1948, 78 years ago, on May 14th, Israel declared its sovereignty as a nation again after almost some 2,000 years of being gone, almost wiped off. Hitler tried to destroy the last Jews on earth. But after World War II, they started coming back. Because why are they coming back? They came back because they needed a place to live where the people wouldn't try to kill them. So they come back, they resettle, they declare themselves a sovereign nation, May 14th, 1948. And what happened the next day, May 15th, one day later, what happened? Six Arab nations declared war and invaded Israel. You can't make this up. And today, six Arab nations. So that's 1948, that's 78 years ago. This past Thursday, the President of the United States made an announcement to the world. He's trying to cut a peace deal with Iran and Israel to try to make Iran stop trying to kill Israel. Iran wants a nuclear weapon so they can destroy the little Satan, Israel, and the big Satan, America. So to stop that, he's trying to create this peace plan. And last Thursday, the President of the United States threw something out that kind of blew my mind. He said that what he wants to do is make part of the peace plan with Iran and Israel that all the Arab nations will join the Abraham Accords. To which I was flabbergasted. And the Abraham Accords pretty much just means stop fighting with Israel, recognize their sovereignty as a nation state, the Jewish state, and y'all just get along. Y'all just get along. Struggles with man, struggles with God. Something's happening. And I think there are people in the room, some of you see it, and you think, well, one thing for sure is that Trump keeps giving you a lot of good sermon material. Last week it was a picture of an alien. This week he's telling the Arab nations who have fought with the Jews since Ishmael, y'all can just get along from now on because I've decreed it. The truth is this: Jacob and Israel has wrestled with man and with God all the way up to today. But don't forget about the blessing. I want to read it again because I think this is supernatural and it has application today, right now. This is Isaac's blessing to Jacob. He thought he was giving it to Esau. I'm going to read it again, verse 28. From the dew of heaven and the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and a bountiful new wine. May nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you, and all who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed. It's almost like the world will be divided down the middle. There will be those who join this sovereign plan of God and those who will fight against the sovereign plan of God. And I've noticed this since October 7th, what was it, 2023, when Hamas invaded Israel and killed all those people. Anti-Semitism, which is just Jew hatred, has risen all over the world. It's even in the church, and some of it's in this church. I've been confronted by it recently. This unnatural hatred of a group of people, even though you're not even real sure why you hate them. And this is how the Apostle Paul describes it to the church. Thousands of years later, Romans 9, verse 13, in the words of the scriptures, in the word of God, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. I loved Jacob, I rejected Esau. Are we saying then that God is unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose. There's his sovereignty. And I will show compassion to anyone I choose. There's his sovereignty. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. So what can we learn from all this today? Let me wrap this up. What can we learn from all this today? I don't know what your takeaway from this message is, but I can tell you what mine is. Mine is quite simple. I will not let go of you until you bless me. I'm taking a hold of this Jesus. And because I took hold of him, I now wrestle with man and wrestle with God. I don't think I would have to wrestle with as many men if I hadn't taken hold of Jesus. But I'm wrestling. I told somebody recently, I have faced more opposition in the last year than I did in my first 25 years of ministry. I have faced more personal and family opposition in my ministry this last year than the 25 previous. Why? I struggle with man. And I struggle with God. This is a spiritual war. I will not let go until you bless me. Even if this makes me an enemy of men, I might end up with a limp. But I'm not going to let go until you bless me. And when I became a follower of Jesus, I also began to wrestle with man and with God. Yes, I was under the blessing. I tell people all the time, I live under the blessing. But the wrestling is real. This wrestling with man and wrestling with God, it's real. I feel like my name changed when I was born again and I became a new creation in Christ. I'm not sure where God's sovereignty begins and where my free will begins. I have no idea. It's a giant philosophical, theological debate. Where is God's sovereignty and where is free will? I don't know. But I know this. I will not let go of you, Jesus, until you bless me. I'm going to hold on. And I'm going to hold on knowing up front, because I've held on to him, I will now be forced to struggle with man and forced to struggle with God, because what I'm holding on to is not a political Israel in the other side of the world. No, that's not what I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to God's preordained plan to do what he's going to do, and it's unstoppable. And yes, Israel will be a part of it. One last question about the urgency of today's message and subject matter. Is it ever too late to pursue the blessing of God? This is a word from God to the church today. Is it ever too late? Let me be specific. Was it ever too late for Esau to get the blessing? And what was Esau's free will that had impact upon the blessing? Hebrews 12:15. Is it ever too late? This is to the church. Look after each other. Hopefully that's what we're doing today. Look after each other so none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And let me just insert something. I believe anti-Semitism is a poisonous root. Let no poisonous root grow up in you, troubling you, corrupting many, and make sure that no one is immoral and godless like Esau. What did he do? Make sure that no one in the church is immoral and godless like Esau. I didn't write that. He did. Who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. Now, I don't have time to get into details of this, but let me give you the short version. Years before the deception of Jacob and Isaac, years before, I guess that they're in their 20s, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's out hunting. He comes in. He thinks he's starving to death. He's famished. And Esau's come in. He's starving, famished. And Jacob is a homebody, and he's cooked some red stew. And he's got the red stew, and it smells wonderful. And Esau's hungry. And Esau says to Jacob, "Give me the stew." And Jacob says, "Give me the birthright. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you the red stew, and you give me your birthright." And Esau says this, "What good is the birthright if I starve to death?" In that moment, Esau traded the temporary for the eternal. It's called a deadly transaction. He traded my right now for the eternal blessing of God, which was connected. I don't think he knew that, which was connected to the blessing of his father Isaac. Let me read verse 16 again. "Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as a firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, Esau was rejected." You ready? "It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Trading the blessing for a bowl of soup. Like Jacob under the blessing today, we wrestle with man." The truth is this. I've been here preaching at this church for 26 years now. And because I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, some people hate me. They hate me. I've even had threats. They hate me. It sounds crazy. I'm a nice guy. Kind of opinionated, but a nice guy. Like Jacob under the blessing today, we wrestle with man and we wrestle with God. And this is how the Apostle Paul describes it. It'll be the last scripture, and then we'll close. Romans 7, 21, "I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power." So when I say we wrestle with God, you need to understand there's another power. There's another power within me that it's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm still a slave to sin. I'm going to ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. Today, I declare something over my house and over this church. I declare it by the name of Jesus. I declare this. We will not let go until you bless us. We will hold on to you, even if it means we will now be required to struggle with man and struggle with God. We will not let go until you bless us. We will not. Jesus is the blessing. And God told Abraham, and Isaac told Jacob the same thing. "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you." This is not about us having a political support to a political power in Israel. This is about us supporting what God has predetermined he's going to do through Israel. He's not doing it to or through Israel because they're good. He's doing it because he's good. And he's unstoppable. And if we align ourselves with him, we will live under this blessing. If you curse what he's doing, you will find yourself cursed. So today, would you be so audacious to say to God, I will not let go of you until you bless me. The invitation's open. Let's stand.